The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
It's good to be here. Thank you for getting us started and the Spirit moving. Gary and I are from Burnsville. How many of you have been way down south to almost to Iowa, right? That's what people tell us. I feel like we're going to Iowa when we come to see you. Halfway to Iowa? But it feels to us like we're heading up to Canada, so, you know. But it's beautiful, wonderful to be here. We know a lot of people from this area, from this church, but we really have never been to Elk River and spent time. So we're blessed to be here and to be spending time with you. Excuse me while I get all these things opened up again. Here we go. There we go. So were any of you here this morning at worship? How many of you were here? All right, so several of you. So you heard who we are and what we're about. So I won't go through a lot of that. But I am excited to be talking to you about building a culture of dreams. Because Gary and I are people who didn't realize that dreams were part of church. I mean, really didn't believe that dreams were part of church or Christian life. We thought, all right, that has to be separate from Christian life. Tina and Chuck, hello. Good to see you guys. So Gary and I both grew up in the church. We knew that Father God loved us, both of us. We knew that Jesus died for our sins and was an amazing Savior, but we also knew there was a Holy Spirit. And Gary grew up in the Catholic tradition. I grew up in the Lutheran tradition, pretty conservative Lutheran. And we both learned that Holy Spirit, you just keep him in. We laugh about it now, but literally, you keep him in the creed. You don't let the Holy Spirit out of the creed, because if you do, things get dangerous and messy and not good, right? Did anyone else grow up with that? Okay, so that's what we were raised. So it wasn't a matter of giving our life to Jesus, because that was really, you know, and you always do release yourself to him at a greater level. But it was a more of an awareness that Holy Spirit's alive and well, and he's part of God. You know, I mean, we knew that, but we didn't experience that. And so when we first got married, we've been married for 31 years. And so when we first got married, we started talking, or even when we were dating, we were talking about the dreams we had and the things that we were seeing in dreams. And we considered it ESP. I mean, this could not be God, right? I don't know who we were giving credit for that, but it was not God. That certainly wouldn't be anything of God. And then one time we were comparing our notes, because I'd been having dreams about this mansion, and I had this mansion. It was awesome. And I grew up in the church, and I knew Scripture, so it must be the mansion I'm going to get when I go to heaven, right? And so then Gary, he'd said, well, I've had really cool dreams about my house, too, and it's this awesome mansion. And he was telling me about his mansion, and we talked about our mansions. One time one of us said, so describe it in detail, and we described it in detail, and the other one went, that's the exact same thing I'm dreaming about. That's my mansion. And we realized we're dreaming about the same place. So it started to not make sense to us. We didn't understand that. Well, then as we got learning about dreams, and I'll tell you how we got to that point, but we got to learning about dreams, we realized it's not about our mansion in heaven, it's about what God has for us on this earth. And Lord uses metaphor to describe what's available to us on earth. And we had no idea we were going to be having a ministry together. That was so far from our imagination at that point. But God was showing us, I got something for you to do together. And it's bigger than you think. And it's a mansion. It's awesome. So we took this step out. We weren't Spirit-filled even when we began ministry together. Isn't that sad to say? We knew the Lord. Not that we hated Holy Spirit, but we didn't let him in as like we could have. And I was already on senior leadership at a church called Hosanna down in Lakeville when we learned about Holy Spirit at a new level. And isn't that sad? I was one of the leaders before we learned about Holy Spirit. But we did a course called the Alpha Course. Have any of you done the Alpha Course? And we prayed, Holy Spirit, come. And Holy Spirit came. And here we are at this good Lutheran church, and people start having stuff happen. it got messy. Doesn't it get messy? It's a fun messy, though, isn't it? It's a good messy, but it's got messy. And I love that this is an equipping event, because I was the equipping pastor. And so I began to look, well, how am I going to equip people? And in the Lutheran tradition I grew up in was Missouri Synod Lutheran, which I love. And I was talking, you know, the Lord was impressing on me as I was talking this morning about, you know, we have to honor our fathers. There's a lot I honor about the Lutheran heritage and I want to glean from. There's a lot of good stuff there. And so one of that is this understanding Scripture and knowing Scripture and what and standing on the Word of God. And so I if I'm going to be teaching it about dreams and visions and how to prophesy and all that, I better learn from somebody that knows Scripture well, right? And so I went and I found, I did a lot of research and I found a guy named John Paul Jackson. And so we've got a picture of John Paul Jackson and myself with his wife Diane. How many of you experienced John Paul at all? He's a mighty man of God, and we've been blessed to be involved with his ministry for a lot of years now, and we brought his teachings. Actually, the way we got started, and someone had asked me if I knew Rose and Larry Eiley. We got started by Rose and Larry Eiley. How many of you know them? They're down in Burnt. Anyway, they're very wonderful people, and they have a big house, and their house was created for ministry, and they invited us over to their house. Now, they were some of those people that scared me. They were. And I'm a pastor, and I'm like, get invited over to Larry and Rose's. That can, you know, what's that going to look like? Because you know, people will know you went to their house. I mean, that's that kind of, it's sad to say now, because we adore them. But that's just how it was back then. And she invited me, and Rose said, you got to come. I just know the Lord told me you've got to come to this. And she's one of those women who knows how to hear the voice of God. And there's something that I kind of fought it, but I ended up going, and Gary went with me. And prior to going to this gathering, I'd had a dream. And the dream was really a cool dream. And I'll tell you the dream in a minute. But when we got to the gathering, we went downstairs. There were about 40 people. I knew Rose. I knew Larry. I knew Gary, my husband. And that's about all that I knew there. They weren't people from our church. There were a lot of people there, but I didn't know them. And they have us downstairs, and they introduced us to a couple people from Streams Ministries, which is John Paul's ministry. John Paul wasn't there, although they know John Paul, but it was two people from their ministry. And they told us all about this ministry and how biblically based it was, and they're speaking to us about how John Paul has this dream that we live in an age where, and a bit dream more of a dream on his heart, where there will be a standoff between the things of the world and the things of God. And there are people who move in supernatural things that are not of God. And there are people who move in supernatural things that are of God. And John Paul believes we need to be prepared. We need to prepare an army because there will come a time when the Lord's people rise up and show that supernatural of God, just like in Egypt when Moses stood up against the sorcerers, that there will be a time when that happens. And so I'm like, wow, this is awesome. They're talking stuff that really stirred my heart. And they said, and you know, dreams are part of that. And they had video of John Paul being in Las Vegas and interpreting people's dreams in the street. And I'm like, seriously, I've heard about stuff like this, but this is way out there for me. Oh, I don't know. But I liked these people. You know, there's something about them that I liked. Have you ever had that? People make you scared, but there's something about them that you like. And then they said, and can we demonstrate interpreting dreams? So we'd like to demonstrate interpreting someone's dream for you. Who has a dream here that they let us interpret? And everybody was quiet. And I had this thing bubbling in me like, you had a dream. You had a dream, and it's really a cool dream, and you want to tell them that. And so I sat there for a while, and no one stood up. And it seemed like forever, but I'm sure it wasn't. I don't really know how long it was. And finally, I just raised my hand and said, I had a dream. They said, all right, you stand up. So I'm standing in front of all these people I don't know, telling my dream. And standing in front of people doesn't bother me. And when I tell you, and the guy who was representing John Paul at that point is now a friend of ours, so we laugh about it because he wasn't really good at what he did quite yet. So he had a little bit of rough edges on him. He's good, but he had some rough edges, so he didn't do quite right. So my dream, I was in my house again. My big house, you know, the house that I've dreamt about, I keep dreaming about. How many of you dream about your house? And it's not your house that you live in now. It's this house, but you know it's your house in the dream, but it doesn't look anything like your house. Anybody have those dreams? Yeah, so the Lord's telling you about your life and what's really available to you in your life and different things in your life. And so in this dream, I find a hallway that I've never seen before in my house. And I'm like, wow, look at that hallway's there. I think I'll try it. I go down the hallway. I have to take a left-hand turn to get in down this hallway. I walk down this hallway, And there, I look on the right-hand side, and there's this palatial, really palatial bathroom. And it was way back when the Shah of Iran was a big deal. And so I remember thinking, this is probably what the Shah of Iran's bathroom looks like, because it was gold and big and huge and fancy. And then right across the hallway was a tiny little bathroom. Just a tiny little bathroom, and all that's in there is a toilet and a sink with a little, you know, cabinet, and that's it. Tiny little bathroom, and not even a full bathroom. And you couldn't even take a bath in there, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, that silly little bathroom. Wonder why they're across the hall from each other. And then I know in my dream, and how do you know things in your dream? It's weird how you do. I knew in my dream that I needed to go use the little bathroom. And how are you? I'm seeing all these faces. I saw this little bathroom, and I knew that that's where I had to go. And I was offended in the dream. Like, why don't I get to use this big, fancy bathroom? Why do I have to go in the little bathroom? And I was kind of pouting in my dream, and I go in there, and I turn, and I think I used the bathroom. I don't know. I don't remember. And so then I open up the cabinet, though, and where the trash can would be is a hole, and the hole goes to the pit of hell, and demons are coming and going, and I slam the door, and I go running out in the hallway, and I get my husband and bring him back. And when he goes in and he opens that up, there's a trash can there. That's all there is. And then he goes around behind the wall, which there's a wall there. You can't go around behind the wall, but he does in the dream because it's a dream, and he goes around behind the wall, and he goes around, and I follow him. And then he comes to this great big door, a beautiful big oak door. And he's standing there at the door, and I just put my hand on the back, his back, and I pray in the spirit, and he opens up the door, and we go into this place, and it's beautiful, it's bright, it's got really kind of glimmering colors, and there's big escalators going up and down that are made out of like glass or diamonds or something, and I'm thinking, wow, this is an awesome place. And so I'm thinking this is a good dream, and I tell this dream, you know, and it is a good dream. And so what our friend Reese says is, and now he's my friend, he wasn't my friend then, and he goes, well, you know, this is a good dream, and it's about you, it's about your life, and what the Lord is saying, you're taking a turn in your life into a transition where you're going to walk in the things that you've inherited through your family line. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And he said, but you've got to go through a time of cleansing. This is what bathrooms represent. He said, the good news is you don't have to do a big deal cleansing. All right, so I'm glad now I don't have to go in the Shah of Iran's bathroom. But you have to there's a small cleansing. But the thing is, it has to do with vanity, because you open the vanity. And I'm standing in front of 40 people I've never met before, and they're saying, you got to deal with, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was mortified, but he said, and you have a ministry that has to do with deliverance and freedom. I'm now the Sozo Regional Director and do deliverance and healing, but I didn't do that. I oversaw it at the church I was at, but I didn't do that kind of ministry then. So, the Lord's showing me prophetically what I'm going to walk in, and that I can't do it unless I am partnering both with my husband and with the Lord. Because in many times in a dream, Jesus, if you're married and your husband's in a dream, or even if you're not married, if there's just a husband in your dream, it's usually for women, it's the Lord. And so as I follow the Lord and as I honor my husband, the Lord's going to lead us into breakthrough, into new things. Now, isn't that a good interpretation? And I sat there, honestly, I sat there feeling like I've never had that experience before. I felt something being pulled out of me that was new and fresh, and I knew it was real, but I didn't know what to do with it. And it made me so hungry for new things. So I was hungry, and we got to learn, and we learned from John Paul's ministry, and we moved into new things. And now we're training literally all over the world in understanding dreams and visions. In 2.5 weeks, I get to go to India with John Paul's ministry, and we're training pastors on how to, they've come once and learned this stuff themselves, and now we're training them to take it into their churches. Isn't that awesome? But I'd love for you to keep us in prayer. We're going to be there the first 2 weeks in February, and John Paul's the one that invited us all to go because we're trainers for him, and his visa has been denied twice, so he's not going with us. We're doing a John Paul Jackson conference without John Paul Jackson, so only Jesus knows what that's going to look like, and it's going to be good, right? But and then when we come back, we're here for home for 2 weeks, and then go to the Philippines and doing this. It's not John Paul stuff, but I'm training in dreams and visions with another group of people in the Philippines. So isn't that just exciting? So you don't even know. And this is apparently my inheritance through, you know, the Lord has that in your house. So think of what he's talking to you about metaphorically in dreams. How many of you consider yourself a dreamer, a pretty consistent dreamer? Okay, and if you're not, I'm going to bless those of you that are to have more dreams, and those of you that don't remember your dreams now, I can guarantee you as you start to walk in these things and open yourself up to it and trust the Lord, you'll get more dreams. I've heard this over and over and over from people over the years. Like, I didn't used to dream, I didn't remember dreams. Even when I started to go to these classes, it just opened up more and more dreams for me. So as you open yourself to these things, the Lord will do more. I love the verse in Job 42:5 in the Amplified version. I love it in all versions, but in the Amplified it's especially neat because I think what God's doing to us when he teaches us new ways to hear his voice is like what happened to Job. And Job, this is at the very end of the story of Job. You know, he's been through horrible stuff, loses his family, loses everything he has. He's got sickness. He comes through all of that and still is able to trust the Lord, right? And isn't that what the challenge of life is? Is that as we go through life, we have difficult things. Do we still know that God is good? Do we still learn to trust God? And he says, I had heard of you, he's talking to the Lord, I'd heard of you only by the hearing of the ear, but now my spiritual eye sees you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Because we all have the ability to see and hear in the spirit, but we learn how to use that gift. This morning I used the analogy of if I had a great big screen TV, the very best that could be purchased with money, and someone gave it to me and I put it on my wall, but I didn't know how to hook it up and I didn't know how to use it, and I shut it down because I didn't want to use it because there's bad things on the TV, I would have the potential for this amazing picture in my life, this amazing communication in my life, but I choose not to use it because I didn't know how to hook it up. I didn't know how to use it. And many times, those of us, all of us, have the ability to see and hear from God. You know, God gave us our imagination. He gave us the ability in our mind's eye to see pictures. That did not come from the enemy. You were created in God's image. He gave you that ability to have imagination, to be able to see things in your mind's eye. But because of fear sometimes that we're going to see the wrong things, we won't recognize the voice of God, or fear that, oh, what if the enemy shows me bad pictures or bad things or getting off track, we shut that down. We need to just learn to take authority over our thoughts and our mind and declare God's sovereignty over it. He says, you have the mind of Christ. So can you guys put your hands on your head and just say, I have the mind of Christ.
I have the mind of Christ.
My mind is protected by Jesus. Amen. All right, so you don't have to worry about that. But I'm going to give you five things that are tests to help you recognize if what you're hearing is God's voice. Now, this is true in all sorts of ways of hearing, and we're talking about dreams tonight, and dreams will line up with this as well, but hearing prophetically, any ways that you're hearing God. They're just five tests, and it's not an exhaustive list, but five things. First, you test the origin. Would you look up quickly 1 John 4:1? 1 John 4:1. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are from God, because many prophets have come out of the world. And this is how you will recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. So you want to be lined up with Jesus and use the name of Jesus and, you know, invite Jesus to be the one who speaks, okay? Secondly, compare it to biblical principles. Does it line up with Scripture? We could go into this at depth, but if what you are thinking you're hearing from the Lord does not line up with Scripture, it's not from God. And not everything is in Scripture. Like, the Lord doesn't tell you what to eat, doesn't tell you, he didn't tell me to go into this certain type of ministry out of his word necessarily, but what he told me to do lined up with his word. Does that make sense? So does it line up with scripture? I can't tell you how many people I've heard over the years come to me and say, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. There's something that you really, really want, and you know that God loves you, and so he must want that for you too, and he doesn't always. And so people will get way off track. I've actually had people tell me, they've been in marriages that are miserable. This is my extreme example, but I've had people who've done this, and they're not in an abusive marriage. They're not with an unfaithful partner, but they say, I'm just really unhappy. I don't love my spouse anymore. I know that God loves me. He wants me to be happy. Now, those two things are true. He loves you. He wants you to be happy, but he doesn't give you the right to divorce your spouse because you don't like him anymore. And so people will say, but God told me I get to get a divorce. I get to marry this new person. I found this new person. God sent this new person to me. And, you know, that doesn't line up with Scripture, right? Okay, so that type of thing. If you're hearing from God and it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not from God. Compare it to the names and character of God as revealed in the Bible. Does this line up with who God is and who God says he is in Scripture? And then Matthew 7, 15, and 20, test the fruit. Test the fruit. What's coming out of this word? Is there good fruit from this word or not good fruit from this word? The Lord told us we aren't supposed to judge people. We aren't necessarily supposed to even judge them for whether they're hearing from God or not, but we can judge the fruit of what they say. And if there's bad fruit, division and harm and painfulness that's brought from what is said, it doesn't line up with the Lord, his character. He's not going to release that. And then share it with spiritual counselors. I encourage you, as you're hearing from God, as you're getting dreams, take these things to people who are more seasoned in these things than you and share it with them and ask their counsel, ask their advice. So those are the things we do when we practice hearing from God. Now, dreams fall into that category, and dreams are extremely biblical. It really scared people when this good Lutheran pastor started, and the church we were part of, when Gary and I started there and I came on staff, he was still in the marketplace, so I was the one that was on staff with the church. It was 1,000 members, so it's a pretty good-sized church at that point. But during the 20 years when I was on staff, it grew. And I wasn't senior leader, so I don't take credit for this. I just want you to know what kind of a ride it was. But we grew from 1,000 members to 6,500 members. It was quite a growth. And Some people were very comfortable with what the Holy Spirit was doing. Have you ever been in a congregation where they didn't have much of the Holy Spirit, and then Holy Spirit came, and it was really scary, and it was a real challenge to keep unity and good relationships within that organization? Well, that's what was going on. And so here you have a pastor now that's teaching people how to understand dreams, and it scared people, and rightfully so. And people said, well, isn't that New Age? And my answer is, it depends on what spirit you're listening to. Because if there is a New Age way to interpret dreams and to understand dreams, and it's not of God, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't send dreams. Does that make sense? And so that's the challenge. And so we look into Scripture, and we look at where are these dreams. And some of the dreams are the basic ones, and you probably know them right off the bat. Solomon received gifts in his dream, didn't he? I mean, what gift did he receive in his dream? Wisdom. The Lord said, hey, have anything you want. And he said, I just want to be a good leader. Give me wisdom to lead the people. And he gave him that wisdom, and then he gave him all these other things as well. That was received in a dream, and it was a legitimate gift. So you can receive gifts in dreams. How about Gideon? Do you remember the dream? Now, Gideon didn't receive the dream. Do you remember who received the dream with Gideon? It was Gideon's enemies who had a dream about Gideon. And they were scared. When they heard about Gideon, they were scared. And the Lord wanted Gideon to know what he carried, didn't he? Right? Excuse me. Now, Gideon was a mighty man of God. He was a warrior, but he didn't know it. He had it in him, and he didn't know it. So that's a lot of times the reason God gives us dreams, because there's stuff in us, there's stuff going on, and we aren't listening to God about it. Because when we're awake, we argue with God, don't we? I don't like what you're saying. I don't agree with what you're saying. We argue with God, and he can't get our attention. But when we're asleep, he's got our full attention. So there's times when he speaks to us in our dreams so that he can get through to us when we're the way we're not listening to him when we're awake. And Gideon, his enemies got this dream because Gideon was a mighty warrior. He carried it. He didn't see himself that way. God was trying to teach him who he was and what he carried. And his enemies said, he snuck up on his enemies and he overheard them talking about him in this dream they had. And they said they had a dream about a barley loaf that was rolling down the hill, and it rolled over them and it squished them. You know, the barley loaf wiped them out. And they said, surely Gideon is the mighty warrior and he's going to come and wipe us out. Now, how does a barley loaf mean Gideon? But, you know, made Gideon all brave, and he went in and he wiped them out, right? He and his army, all right? It worked. God's strategy worked. Well, the thing about the dreams is that culture was a metaphorical culture, very metaphorical. They understood metaphor, and God speaks in metaphor. They didn't need to explain dreams as much as they just knew dreams because they understood metaphorical language. And so, do you remember who Gideon was when the angel first came to him? What was he doing? He was threshing wheat in the winepress, hiding from the enemy, right? But he's the guy who was in charge of the wheat, threshing wheat. And what do you do with wheat once it's been threshed? You make bread out of it, right? And so he's the guy in charge of making bread, and everybody knew it. And so this big barley loaf goes rolling down the hill. It represents the guy who's in charge of the wheat who makes the barley. And so they knew that was Gideon, so metaphor. All right, and then Joseph. Joseph shared his dreams. Wasn't too good for him, was it? He got kind of prideful about his dream. But, you know, the thing about when Joseph shared his dream is that he told his family, and they got mad at him. Nobody discussed what this dream meant, and nobody interpreted the dream at that point. Everybody just knew what it meant because they understood metaphorical language. And nobody was saying, well, we're all going to bow to you, but everybody knew the dream meant we're all going to bow to you. And God gave him the dream. But it made everybody angry, right? Because they understood the metaphor. Jacob dreamt about the angels coming and going. And is this a metaphor? I don't think so. I think actually this one is a night vision because it's literal. Now, there's a difference between dreams and visions. And you can dream when you're awake. Is anybody here daydream? You can get amazing creative things by daydreaming, and the Lord can speak to you. Don't shut that down. Don't daydream inappropriately, but don't shut it down because it can be very, very real. And we can dream at night when we're asleep, of course, but we can also have visions when we're awake, right? You can see visions, but you can have visions when you're asleep. And the difference is dreams are more metaphorical. They need to be interpreted. And visions are more literal. There's much less interpretation needed. You just know what it means. Does that make sense? And so I think that Jacob, when he's dreaming about this ladder and all the angels coming and going on the ladder, I think he's having more of a night vision, angels coming and going on this ladder. And he's having an encounter with angels, the angelic. But you don't need to be a believer in order to have dreams. That's the beauty of dreams. And that's some of the most exciting things that we have done as a ministry with dreams is taking it to people that don't know the Lord yet and interpret their dreams for them. Because every dream you have is not a dream from the Lord necessarily. It's not a Holy Spirit dream. Sometimes we just have dreams because we're processing our day. Sometimes we have dreams because we ate weird things. Sometimes we have dreams because the medications we took. You know, there's just those kind of dreams. But there are a lot of dreams where the Lord's talking to us. Whether or not we believe in him, he still created us, right? He created every person on earth. Every person dreams. Some of the most exciting dreams that are happening this day and age are with people who don't know the Lord. Muslims like crazy are dreaming about the man dressed in white. We have a friend who actually goes to mosques and hangs around outside the mosques, and he'll just chat with people. He'll just strike up conversations, and he will ask them, have you met the man in white yet? And people, some look at him like, you are crazy. But others will go, yeah, do you know who he is? Well, then he can explain to them who Jesus is, and he'll talk to them about that, and he's leading people to the Lord like crazy. Because the Lord comes to people, whether they know him or not, he can reveal himself in dreams, and he can talk to people. Now, Pilate's wife is a great example of this, right? Yeah, she was warned, and she told Pilate, you don't want anything to do with this guy. There's a big deal spiritually going on with him, and you want to be free of that, right? So she wasn't a believer. Gary and I have been blessed to take some of this stuff to the University of Minnesota, or lots of different places. We just have such a good time. And one of my favorite ones was years ago, we we were out in front. We were in a place called Dinkytown. You guys know what Dinkytown is, right? Yeah, it's fun talking to Minnesotans because you guys know, when I'm not somewhere else, I'm like, yeah, we have this place called. Well, we were in Dinkytown, and we were right across from the Varsity Theater on the other side of the street. We had a friend who had a place called the Hot Spot that was set up there, and a little coffee shop, and we'd go up there and we'd set up our A-frame sign. It said, "Free dreams interpreted, free encouraging words." I don't remember because people don't know what prophetic words are, and I don't remember what else. Free prayer, I think we said. I don't remember what all we said on that sign. And we had, it's out on, that part of town. And so there's a lot of partying that goes on there, that part of town. We were there on a Saturday night, and you're in between, bars on the street, and we're out there, and these people are coming walking by and kind of ignoring us. But three guys came walking by, big guys, college students, and obviously had been visiting some of the bars. So they were pretty wobbly, and we'd been coming under a lot of criticism over what we did as a ministry, and especially that we ministered to people like that. Aren't you wasting what God gave you if you're going down? You get criticized no matter what, right? And if they're drunk, is that really a legitimate thing to do, or aren't you just wasting what God gave you? And so what we did is we took it before the Lord, like, Lord, we just want to know. I mean, if this is wrong, tell us, and we will stop doing it. But if it's you, we want to do it. Show us. And so these guys came walking by, and all three went walking past us, and then one of them turned and pointed back at us and said, "Do you guys really interpret dreams?" And we're like, "Yeah." It's like, when you know, all right, yes, we do. You have a dream, can we interpret it for you? And as he's here, and his friends have kind of kept going, and they're a few steps away, they look back and they go, "Dude, get out of there, they're Christians." "Oh my gosh, you don't want anything to do with them. Get out of there. Get out while you still can," And so, but you can tell there's a burden on his heart. And he came over and he sat down and he said, "I've had this dream since I was a little kid, and I keep having a recurring dream." Recurring dream is like God trying hard to get your attention about something. Well, he's had this recurring dream since he was a kid, and this kid's probably 20 years old. And says, "Yeah, sure, tell us your dream." Now, when I tell you the dream, you're going to say, "That is so simple. Anybody could interpret that." But yet, he couldn't. There's just something that was missing for him. So in the dream, he's driving a tractor. Now, your vehicle you're driving is important, because whatever you're driving is what's driving you forward in life, what's carrying you forward in life. All right? So he's driving a tractor. How do you describe a tractor? It's big, it's powerful, it pretty much holds one person, but it really tills up the ground, right? Metaphorically, what does a tractor do? Okay, so if he'd been driving a motor scooter, that'd be a whole different thing. Or if he was driving a car, it'd be a different thing. Or a bus, it'd be different. So it tells you a lot about what he's being moved forward in life with, a tractor. And in the dream, his job is to till up this field, which he does. It's really easy. He's having a great time. But there's a fence around the field, and he's coming to the edge of the fence, and he doesn't know what to do. So he's looking everywhere to try to find his father to tell him what to do next. Is that you guys could interpret that dream, right? But he didn't know what it meant. And so he said, "Oh, that's a great dream, and it's about you." That's the best line, you guys. This is a good dream, and it's about you. And because 90% of our dreams are about ourselves. We want to make them about somebody else, especially when they're correction dreams. I think this is about the church. I think this is about the pastor. I think this is about the country or the people who oppose me politically, whatever. But a lot of times, 90% of the time, they really are. They're about us. And so it's a great dream. It's about you. And what this is about is you have the God who created you. We use that language, and because he knows we're Christians and we don't know where he's coming from. The God who created you has given you a powerful gift to change the culture, to change things, and to really make a difference. It's powerful, and you know how to do it, but you don't know how to get out of the bounds of what you have grown up under. And he just wants to teach you, and what you need is to connect with Father God to teach you how to do this. And the kid just sobered up like that, honestly. And so what that showed us is it doesn't matter if you're inebriated. If the Spirit of God touches you, you get sober, or you get drunk in a new way. It's just different. But it's good. It's good. Yeah. And so he let us bless him, and it was an amazing thing. And we said, "So what are you studying?" He said, "Political science." This is a political science major. So, you know, in heaven we'll find out, I'm sure. I don't know the guy, but in heaven we'll find out what happened to him, because then his friends got him and they went on. But isn't that cool? Because God's giving dreams to people who don't even know him. So he speaks to us about the call on our life, but he also helps us to bring this gift into a world that doesn't know him and give him a touch, because everybody sleeps and everybody dreams, whether they remember their dreams or not, they start to. Okay? So, with that said, are you willing to do a little exercise? This is an equipping event, right? Can we do an equipping exercise? So what I'm going to do is a very quick exercise. It's only going to take us about 5 or 6 minutes if we do it well. But all I want you to do is hear quietly from the Lord. Because everybody hears from the Lord. We don't all think that we can hear from the Lord. And I'm not going to have you hear from the Lord for yourself. I'm going to have you hear from the Lord for somebody that you don't know in the room. Hopefully there's somebody you don't know in the room. And all I'm going to have you do is sit with them quietly for 1 minute, and then I'll give you instructions. But could you stand up? Could you find somebody in the room that you don't know and just sit with them? So we just want to be paired up 2 by 2. Okay, if you haven't found someone, would you raise your hand? If you haven't found someone that you don't know, raise your hand. We can keep, there's some. And if you can't find somebody you don't know, just sign somebody with their hand raised. Keep your hand up if you do not have a partner. Okay. We got somebody over here. Do you guys know each other? Okay. All right. You don't know her? It doesn't matter. All right, so, okay, who doesn't have a partner yet? What, you guys might, okay, if you know each other, go ahead and do it. You can still do this. Just go with somebody that you do know. Just partner up, yep. Well, Marcy, you can do Gary, or Gary, you got somebody, are you up there? All right, there we go. All right, so we're going to do this. It's very, very simple. You'll decide between the two of you which one of you is going to be receiving first and which one of you is going to be praying. And again, you're praying quietly, but you're just the one who's receiving. We don't want you to be thinking or agreeing or anything. You just sit and receive. Just relax. You can do that for only a minute, and then I will tell you it's time to switch. And then whoever was receiving before is now praying quietly, and whoever was praying before is now receiving quietly. Does that make sense? So it's real easy. Yes?
Sorry. So when you say quietly, you mean not out loud?
Not out loud at all.
Okay.
Just, yep. Just, you're talking to God about them, but not out loud.
Okay?
Chris, yes?
I just need clarification. Because if I'm praying, I'm feeling like I'm receiving something for them. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You're praying. You are praying. You're asking God, what do you say for them? And you're praying for them, but do it quietly. Okay?
Silently.
Yep. Huh? Nope, don't share it with them. Just be real quiet. Yep. All right, are you guys ready? So let me pray for you first. Lord, I thank you for these people who are here. I thank you that you are always talking, Lord, that you have things to say all the time. And so right now, we speak to any doubt or any fear, and we say, get out of here in Jesus' name. Our Jesus is talking. And Holy Spirit, would you come and would you stir us? And thank you, Lord. All right, so those of you I'm going to tell you when your time's up, but just be praying. Ready? Go. Okay, that's a minute. Now I want you to switch roles. So whoever was praying, you're now receiving, and who was receiving, you're now praying. Okay, go ahead. Ready? Go. Okay, that's a minute. Now I do want you to share with each other. What did the Lord show you for them? And just compare notes. Okay, go ahead and share. So how was that? Were you okay? Come on back, you guys. Come on back. Going back to your seats. Yeah, go back to where you started from.
Jesse. Thank you. Wasn't that awesome? How many of you are enjoying this? How many of you, if you're really honest, are being stretched a bit? Good. Well, I asked Christy if sometime here we could take just a little break, and we want to receive an offering. One of the things that we do with these higher call classes is we don't have a registration. We just let you know what is happening and encourage you to come and participate. But we do want to bless Gary and Christy. And so we're going to receive an offering. If you're writing out a check, you can write it out to Living Waters Church, and it will go to them in its entirety. And we just want to bless them. It's been so good. It was good this morning, and it's good so far this evening. It'll be good next week as well. So if you guys want to come on up and just take that offering. Again, if you're making out a check, make it out to Living Waters Church. While they are receiving that, I just want to let you know what we have coming up here with the Higher Call classes. This is our first class of 2015. And Christy will be here next week. And then the following 3 weeks, that is January 25th, February 1st, and February 8th, we're going to have what we're calling Flowing in the Spirit. And the guest ministers are going to be you. And we're just going to have a time when we get into worship, and then we're going to release you in some things like word of knowledge, praying for the sick, word of wisdom, prophecy. We don't know what we're going to do. We know it's going to be powerful. We know it's going to be messy, and we know it's going to be exciting. And the reason we're doing this is because we are convinced that the body needs to be released to be the body. And the body builds itself up in love. But that releases something in us that allows us to take it out there. So, and you, I don't expect you to remember all these dates. We'll have information coming out. By the way, there is a sign up in the back. If you want, if you did not get an email notification for these classes and you'd like to, if you want to just give us your email, we will not abuse it, but we will let you know what we have coming up for these equipping classes. Following that, we will have what we're calling bodybuilding, the importance of relationships. Our daughter, Renee Calva, is going to be teaching that. She'll be talking about the importance of relationships in the body of Christ, about small how important being a part of a small group doesn't mean necessarily. Well, that small group can be any configuration that meets for any reason, but it's important to have brothers and sisters who you can connect with. And she's going to be sharing around that theme. For those of you who are small group leaders here, whether in this church or another church, it'll be an excellent leadership training time for you. And then on March 8th, for one Sunday night only, we'll have Alan Ross, our prophetic brother from Scotland here, and he will be here on Friday night and Saturday as well, and you'll be hearing more information about that. But he will be here equipping at our Higher Call class on March 8th. And then March 15th, 22nd, 29th, and April 5th, we will be having Judy Slay, who was trained by Christy, will be doing a SOZO training. And we'll be, remember we had a taste of SOZO last fall, she will be doing actually more in-depth training on SOZO. If you're here tonight and you don't know what SOZO is, it is a ministry of helping people get set free that they can be all that God has called them to be. A lot of inner healing. That word in the original language is translated deliverance, it's translated healing, and it's translated salvation. It is the salvation of the whole body, soul, and spirit, the whole person. So, again, we'll be getting more of that information out to you, but we do encourage you to recognize how important your role is in continuing to grow in your ability to give Jesus away. Christy, come on up.
So how was that, listening to each other, praying for each other? Were any of you surprised by what the other person prayed for you, that they knew what to pray? Without having any communication, anybody? Usually, no? Okay. Well, some. Okay, good. That's usually what happens. And I like doing this exercise because people tell me I don't hear from God. And then they pray silently for someone, and usually they've heard from the Lord for them, but they didn't realize that's how easy it is to hear from God, that God just talks to us. And it's simple, and we, many times God's talking to us pretty consistently, and we're thinking it's just ourselves. And so part of learning to hear the voice of God is starting to realize what's God's voice, what's my voice, what's the enemy's voice. That's all part of it, right? And it's important to be able to discern the differences. And then once you discern the difference, what do you do with that? What if I know what the enemy's doing? What do I do with that information? So I'm just going to have us look at a little bit of Bible. This is because it's equipping. We're going to go a little bit deeper in Scripture. And I need some volunteers who will look up Bible verses and just read them quickly for us, if you're willing to do that. Can we get the next slide, please? Here we go. I need four people who will read these first four verses on the left, Genesis 2:4, Revelation 21:1, Isaiah 45:12, and Psalm 150. Any volunteers who are willing to look that up for me and read them out loud? Okay, Renee, I'll have you do the first one. And Lisa, the second one. Anyone else? third and fourth. You two ladies, you can decide which one. All right, so what we need to do when we're looking into the spiritual realms, and this is a weird term, I know, many times people will call these is the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. Have you guys heard those? Is that familiar terms to you? Yeah, a lot of people. Okay. And that wasn't familiar to me. And as I began to move in these things, and I heard from other pastors about what a mess people, you don't want to release people in the prophetic in your church because all kinds of hard things happen. They're very mean with what they say. They hurt people. It causes division. I'm like, well, that's not what God would do. So why is that happening? And as I started to ask the Lord, I began to learn about the spiritual realms and understand what we do with what we hear from the Lord is as important as what we hear from the Lord. Does that make sense? And so we need to understand that there are these different spiritual realms. Now, in our humanness, we tend to want to make these a parfait kind of thing, like the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, and they just lay on top of each other. Remember parfaits? They were big in the 60s and 70s. But I don't know that it's like that, because the Lord tells us it's just like a thin veil between us and eternity. There's just a veil. And so is it right here? I don't know, but there are different realms. So the first heaven, which is we also call the natural realm. So, Renee, did you have the first one, Renee?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Could you just read that for us?
Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them. Oops, sorry. That was too much background. 2:4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Made the earth and the heavens. That's plural. You see that? He made the earth and the heavens. Not just he made earth and heaven. He made the earth and the heavens. It's a plural thing. Isn't that interesting? And so Revelation 21:1.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more.
So here we read that there's a new heaven, new earth, because the first heaven passed away, second heaven passed away. So, you know, we know that there's at least three, right? Because two of them pass away in Revelation, and there's still one left.
I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for the mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
We didn't need all that, but it's just cool.
No.
I'm not saying it. I have people read it because it's just so cool. I like the whole thing because everything has breath. But, you know, again, the heavens, both of those talk about the heavens, plural. That he created the heavens. The Lord created plural heavens. So there's more than one heaven. And what we see in the natural realm, or what's called the first heaven, is everything that we see, everybody knows they see, and nobody wonders, is this real, is this not real? You know, all this stuff that's here. That's the first heaven. It's the natural realm. It's not hard to convince people there's a natural realm. But then you start to talk about the different spiritual realms, and they're going, seriously, is that in Scripture? Well, yeah, we're going to look at these. So I need four more volunteers. First one to read, well, we just have those four verses. Would anybody read Ephesians 6:12? Great, thank you. This right up here. Daniel 10:13. Thank you. And there might be a verse before or after. If you read that and you think that you should take a verse before or after, go ahead. Romans 8:38-39. You got that? Great. Ephesians 2:2. Right. Henry up here. Wonderful. All right.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places.
All right, spiritual hosts of wickedness. We are wrestling against spiritual hosts of wickedness in a heavenly place. So they're real. They aren't necessarily something that everybody's convinced is real, right? But they're real, and the Lord describes them. Thank you. All right, now Daniel 10. That was over here, back behind you. That helps a lot with the microphone, though. Thank you for running. Daniel 10.
I'm going to start with 12. Then he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
All right, so what's happening here is Daniel is in exile, and he's with the nation of Israel, and they're on the banks of the Kibar River, and they're in mourning. He's in mourning for the nation, and he's praying to the Lord to do something. Would you move the Lord? And he prays, nothing happens for 3 weeks. Nothing happens. But this angel comes to him, and what's interesting is he says, anything came out of your mouth, before you even started praying, I was sent. So the angel was sent before Daniel even started praying, but it took him 3 weeks to get there because this prince of Persia, and you know, this principality that we read about in Ephesians was encountering the angel and keeping him from blessing Daniel. Isn't that interesting? That's the warfare that takes place in this spiritual battlefield. Yeah, thank you. It's just, you know, it's very real. It's very biblical. All right, Romans 8, 38 and 39.
Where was that?
Who has that one? Right over. Hang on just a second.
Let's get it on. This is being recorded.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, not any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Isn't that an encouragement? After we just read about Daniel and how the enemy kept now with and the other side of the cross, nothing can separate us. So those demons can't keep us away from the love of Christ. And, yeah.
And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
All right, disobedience, prince of the power of the air. There is a spiritual place where there is a prince there, and it's not a godly prince. Okay, so the reality that there is a place where angels and demons are fighting, and we fight against that. And what we find is that as people start to see spiritually and hear spiritually and even dream, sometimes they will see what's going on in this second heaven battlefield. And what we want to do is not agree with it, to be aware of it, but not to empower it, right? And the Lord lets you see the enemy's strategy, but you don't want to keep talking about what the enemy's doing. We want to be talking about the Lord, what the Lord says about a situation. But how do you do that? Well, you do that by asking God, what do you say? What's going on in the throne room? Because there is a place where there are demons and angels fighting, but there's also a place where the demons no longer are allowed. They've been cast out, and that's the throne room of God. And so let's read about the throne room of God. Would someone read Ephesians 1:20? Right back there, thank you. Colossians 3:1, right over here, thank you. 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4, great, in the orange shirt. And Ephesians 4:10, one more, Ephesians 4:10. Great, thank you, back there. All right, so let's read about the throne room of God. This is always fun, isn't it? All right, Ephesians 1:20, right back there. Oh, I think it's off.
Hello?
There we go.
Let's see. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
All right. So Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he was raised up and seated at the right hand of God. Now, is that in the second heaven? No, that's in heavenly places. The throne room of God, right next to the Father. Colossians 3:1. Over here.
Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Okay, you have been raised with Christ. So set your things up there where he's seated. And where is he seated? In the throne room, in the heavenly realm. Yeah, next to the Father. He's right. He's not in second heaven. You don't have to fight through that. You get to go right up there, which is mind-boggling, isn't it? You have, because of what Jesus did, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, you have insider, you have direct access to the throne room of God, which is mind-boggling. It really is. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4.
I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I know not. God knoweth. Such a one caught up even to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not. God knows. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
Yeah. Who wants that? Who wants to go to a place that's so amazing you can't even talk about it? You know, and Paul had this experience. It took him 13 years to talk about it. Do you know that? It took 13 years for him to come to grips with what happened. Those throne room experiences are amazing and powerful. But what the importance of that verse is, he actually names it as the third heaven. So there is a third heaven, and there's, if there's a third heaven, it makes sense there's a second and a first, but those terms aren't used, but third heaven term is used, and he was taken there, and it was such an experience. He didn't know if he actually went there, or if his spirit went there, if it was just a, he doesn't know what happened, but it was a powerful experience, and it rocked his world, going to be in the throne room. Yeah. All right, in Ephesians 4:10.
He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things.
All right. Where did Jesus ascend? Above all the heavens. So wherever is the top heaven, Jesus is there. You know what? That we, so do we know all the details? Do we know all the specifics? What does this look like? Wouldn't it be great if God explained it in greater detail? But he doesn't. But he gives us enough to know this is real, and we need to pay attention to this. And so don't you wonder, you know, people worry about hearing God's voice, rightfully so. But in John 10, 3-5, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I come as the shepherd, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd, and then the sheep follow the good shepherd because they know his voice. They won't follow the enemy's voice because they don't know that voice. That's what Jesus says. So if you know Jesus' voice, you follow his voice. You don't have to discern everything the enemy's saying. You just need to know Jesus' voice and follow his voice. And look at that. It's in John 10, 3-5. But what we need to know there is, if you don't know Jesus' voice, you won't know what voice to follow. So the key to all of this is you need to know Jesus' voice. If you're going to be listening to these things, you need to know Jesus' voice. Do you remember, how many of you remember the day, back in the day, when we didn't have caller ID on phones? You guys sitting over here probably don't even know what phones looked like without caller ID, right? But there was a day back in the olden times when we... phones would ring and it wouldn't tell you on the phone who was calling you, right? But when you answered, there were some people and you just would answer the phone and you'd say, yeah, how you doing? You'd recognize the voice and you'd start chatting and you'd just keep talking. But there's other people that call and they'd have to say, this is so-and-so. May I please speak to you a little more formal? Because you didn't know that voice. They had to tell you who they were and you had to have that conversation then, right? And the way you knew those voices is those the people you were familiar with, you had relationship with, you had, the better you knew them, the more you recognized their voice. It's like that with hearing the voice of the Lord. If you aren't taking time in God's word, if you aren't taking time in prayer, if you aren't taking time learning to hear his voice and know his voice, then yes, you might be led astray by another voice and be messed up. But if you know the voice of the Lord, you follow him and you won't have to worry about the other voices. So that's a great assurance to me. I just need, my job then, is to stay close to Jesus, and I'll be fine. Okay? But the other thing that I think is important about learning about these things is that Jesus, when he told people how he did what he did when he was on this earth, he said, well, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I only say what I hear the Father saying. We read that in John 5, John 6, and John 8. He says that three times. You know, I don't. This is how I do it. I just ask the Father what's going on. Well, he was fully God and fully man. So as a man, he went to the throne room and saw what the Father was doing, and he released it on heaven. On earth. He released heaven on earth. And so then when he taught us to pray, he said, you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's telling us, because of what he did for us, we get insider information and it's totally legal. We get to go to the throne room and say, all right, God, I see what the enemy's doing here. I see how he's wreaking havoc in my community and my family and my workplace in this world. And I know that's not you, Lord. So what do you say about this situation and how do I agree with you? And so that's what Jesus taught us to do, and that's how he taught us to pray. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you can bear. But with the trial, he will also provide a way out so that you will be able to endure it. And I believe that when hardships come around us, when we experience hardships, we need to remember this, that we get to go to the throne room and say, all right, Jesus, you said there's a way out. I have no clue. I have no idea what to do next. What's the way out in this? And Jesus will show you the way out. But if you don't know how to access his voice and hear from heaven on that situation, it's hard to know what the way out is, right? But he has it for you. And so, in hearing God's voice and being effective in recognizing God's voice is one of the main things, is know what the source is of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're encountering. Because in the garden, there were two trees, right? There's a tree of knowledge and of good and evil and the tree of life. From the throne room of God, we receive the tree of life. We receive life. But there is knowledge of what's going on in the world. The tree of knowledge can show us what's happening, what the enemy's doing. But you want to agree with the tree of life. And if we start agreeing with the tree of knowledge of good and evil and start calling out everything the enemy is doing, we are empowering what the enemy is doing. What you focus on, you empower. What you focus on, you make more room for. So I'm aware that nothing's coming to mind, but if I start naming all the things I see the enemy doing in my community, in my family, in my church, and I'm agreeing with them, and I'm speaking them out, and I'm saying them over and over, and I'm, you know, we get kind of gossip or slander or frustration, we release that, we empower it, we engage with it. Now, the Lord has let us be aware of it, but he wants us to be aware of it so we can agree with him instead. So when we see what's going on, second heaven stuff, what are the demons doing? What's the enemy doing? All right, I'm aware of that. And Jesus, what are you saying about this? And I start to agree with heaven. It shifts the atmosphere. It shifts everything. And so when the Lord lets us see those things, it's so that we can change what's going on. Good interpretation is based on revelation first. Understanding is started when revelation is clarified. But don't turn off your brain. So let me give you an example of this. Graham Cook, you guys are familiar with Graham Cook, right? He's a great prophetic voice and has a great example of this. He was ministering somewhere, I don't know where it was, and he was on a ministry line, so they had people praying. And he had just finished a talk, and a guy came up, and he was praying for them. And this minister next to him, a young man, came up, and he started ministering to him. And he kind of, Graham Cook finished with his guy, and nobody else was coming up. So he kind of was listening in on this person to his right being ministered to. And the minister said to the young guy, he said, oh, I see. The Lord's showing me that you are like a nut. You're like a hard nut, like a walnut, and you just have a hard shell around you, and the Lord is going to break you open, and he's going to open you up, and he's going to, and he just, and the words he was using, it was like, and he said, I could see the guy visibly crumpling, and he started to, you could see the shame on him, and he started to actually weep, and he said, the guy's on the floor, and there's, you know, he's kind of a mess, and the prayer minister thought, well, he couldn't minister anymore, so he left, and Graham Cook, his heart was breaking for this guy, and so he just said, I'm really sorry, I saw what just happened, could I pray for you? And the guy says, no thanks, I think I've had enough prayer, you know, it wasn't that good, you know. And he said, no, really, I'm sorry, what happened to you was not the way the Lord wants things to be, let me pray for you. And so he said, all right, and so then he stood up, he let Graham pray for him, and Graham Cook asked the Lord, okay, what do you say about him? And the Lord saw a nut. And he's like, oh, no. But the key is, all right, so that may be what the enemy has done in his life, caused him to be hard. All right, so then he said, but Lord, what are you doing? and what do you say? And so he took the next step. He agreed with heaven. And he saw the oil coming down over this nut and saturating it so that it opened on its own in the presence of the Lord. So then he said, it's true that there's hardness and life's been hard for you. It's caused you to harden your heart towards the Lord. But he wants to love on you and release his presence. And the guy got very, very blessed. So the same picture, two different outcomes, okay? So we have to ask the Lord, what are you saying? What is your source? Where is this coming from, and what am I going to agree with? There's a big difference between a tree of knowledge and of good and evil and the tree of life. And we have access to the tree of life, which is always gives life. And we need to be sure to be doing that. And in order to be doing that, we have to be aligned ourselves. There's an alignment. In Minnesota, we know about aligning cars, right? How many times do you have to get your car aligned? Every time you hit a pothole, and that's quite often in Minnesota. So we just know how to get alignment. Or if you've been to a chiropractor, you can get aligned. It feels so good. Everything works good. But it lasts you for a while, and you go back to the chiropractor and get realigned, right? So things are back in alignment. So spiritually, there is an alignment as well. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We are tripartite because we're made in the image of a tripartite God. He is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. Does that make sense? We're one person, but we got different parts to us. All right. And so we can, if we are in alignment, the spirit's flowing through us, everything's working good, that's great. But if we are out of alignment, our spirit may be connected to the Lord, but if our soul and is basically your mind and your will and your emotions. All right. So what I think, you know, I've got a good brain. I can really get off track on some crazy thinking, right? If I'm not lined up with the Lord. Or my will. My will, if it's in alignment with God's will, that's a great thing. But when I get stubborn and I want my own will to be done, not God's will to be done, I can make a big mess. And my emotions, you know, hearing from the Lord may or may not be an emotional experience. Sometimes it is, and sometimes the Lord just flows through you. So if I rely only on my emotions, again, if it's not lined up with the Lord, I can get into some messes. So your soul, if it's out of alignment, can get you into a lot of trouble. And your body, if it's out of alignment, can get you into a lot of trouble. And so what I've learned so much in this kind of ministry is, if I am not aligned well, and I'm getting revelation and I'm not quite getting it right, or my mind's getting it wrong, or it's more what I want than what God's actually saying, I can make some big messes. So I need, my job, again, is stay close to Jesus and stay lined up with him, stay healthy myself, so that what I release is healthy. All right, and the way to do that, and people always ask me for this prayer, and if you want it, I'll bring it on a PowerPoint next time. I don't have it this week, but I've taught people, and I'm going to invite you to pray this with me if you want. But I'll tell you what we're going to pray. I have people put their hand on their heart, and we speak to our spirit, and we bless our spirit, we command our spirit to plug into God's Holy Spirit, and then we speak to our soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions, right? We speak to our soul and we bless our soul, because God doesn't want you to turn off your brain. He gave you your brain. He gave you your emotions. He gave you your will, but he wants them to be lined up with him. So he doesn't say turn them off, just keep them in the right place. So we bless our soul and we command our soul to come in alignment under our spirit, and we bless our body and we command our body to come in alignment under our spirit. And then we allow everything to flow. All right? Does that make sense? So if you're interested in doing that, why don't you stand and we'll pray that prayer quickly. And what I want to say, too, is you can be still plugged into God's spirit and be making a mess. I mean, once you're plugged into the spirit, if your soul's out of alignment, you can still be making a mess. So we want to come back into alignment. So just put your hand on your heart or on your, wherever you believe your spirit is. Just put your hand wherever you feel comfortable. And then repeat after me. I speak to my spirit. And I bless my spirit. I command my spirit to plug into God's Holy Spirit. I speak to my soul. I bless my soul. I command my soul to come in alignment under my spirit. I speak to my body. And I bless my body. I command my body to come in alignment under my soul. And Holy Spirit, would you come flow through me? Wash away anything that doesn't line up with you. Lord, would you give me great dreams tonight? Would you speak to me clearly? In Jesus' name. Amen. And go ahead and have your seat. I like to pray this when I find... Have you ever tried to sit down and have a quiet time and you find your brain just going off in crazy directions? Like, okay, I got this to do. Okay, when I get that done, I'll sit down, I'll do my work. And you can be so busy doing stuff, you never get to the Word or you never get to your time. When I find that happening to me, I know that, all right, I'm out of alignment. My busy brain is over here. I need to call it into alignment under the Spirit again. And it just gets me back quieted down so I can flow again. So it's not, it doesn't mean you're in sin. It doesn't mean you're a horrible person. It just means you got a little out of alignment, a little out of whack, right? So when we're giving interpretations of dreams, though, this is especially important because, and we'll talk about that next week, but there are interpretations that you can give right out of your soul. And a lot of worldly interpretations are right out, are soul-based. And there's some truth to them, but it's not revelation-based. And we want to give dream interpretations based on the revelation of God. And so that's important. All right, so God, we have a quote from, I don't know who it is, but it's a beautiful quote. And I think it talks about how God sees dreams and why he gave us dreams. Because the quote is that God-given dreams, so we're talking about those dreams, because not every dream is a God-given dream. Some of them are just you processing and doing all that. But there are God-given dreams. So those dreams are like stars. You may never touch them, but if you follow them, they'll lead you into your destiny. And isn't that a beautiful thought? Because God knows what he created you to do. Whether you know it or not, he knows. He created you for that purpose. We are told in Ephesians that we are created in advance to do good works. You're God's workmanship, and he created you with these things in mind for you to do with your life. Now, maybe you've accomplished some of that, and maybe you haven't. Maybe I've accomplished what I'm supposed to. Maybe I haven't, and we don't necessarily know. And the good news is we know a God who created us and knows every bit of that. That's why I love the Sozo ministry as well, because we help people get back, get rid of the lies that are keeping us away from our destiny. And it's wonderful to watch people come back into alignment with the destiny. But those dreams as well, God tells you things. He tells you, sometimes it's like Joseph, where he told Joseph what was going to happen, and it took 20-some years for it to happen. Sometimes it takes 20-some years for that dream to come about. And we remember the dreams because they're so powerful. And sometimes it happens the next day. And sometimes they're very literal. Again, sometimes they're metaphorical. There's another man named Dr. Mark Rutland who, do you guys know who Dr. Mark Rutland is? Really an interesting man. He has been on a journey with the Lord. He was in a very denominational church that didn't move in things to the Lord and got very frustrated. And then he went into some Pentecostal stuff and he saw some unhealthy stuff, so he left that. And then he went back and forth and back and forth. And he most recently was the president of Oral Roberts University. So isn't that an interesting thing for a guy who's been all over the place? And we've heard him speak. And he talks about dreams. He's written a book on dreams. And he said, if God is a dreamer, which he is. We know that God's a dreamer. We know that he's dreamt of these things. And if he loves dreamers, which he does, we know that God loves people who dream, then how precious to him must be those who nurture dreams and dreamers. How precious it is to the Lord when you say to him, Lord, I know you give dreams, and I want to know you better, so I want you to give me dreams so I can know you better. How precious is that to the Lord? And how precious is it to him if you take a notebook by the side of your bed and you say, you know, I'm going to write these things down. And I just hate getting up in the middle of the night and writing dreams down. But and I don't get anxious about it. You aren't going to want to write every dream down, especially if you're a prolific dreamer. You'll never get any sleep. You don't have to write everything down. But write down as much as you need, an outline, a few notes, and the ones that really stick out for you. But how precious is it to the Lord that you're taking it seriously? And you're giving him an opportunity, and you're giving him, you're opening your heart to more of him. Because the Lord said in Acts, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And we are in the last days, aren't we? And his spirit is being poured out on all people, not just on his people, not just on the believers. Spirit's being poured out on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will see visions, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So there is a world out there that is dreaming, and the Spirit of God is touching them, and they don't know what to do about it. And so as we learn about dreams and what to do with dreams, we're able to learn about ourselves. We're able to walk in more the fullness of our destiny. And then our goal can be to receive that peace in us and release it into a world that doesn't know who created them. They don't know who holds their destiny in their hands. Being in God's Word consistently is the best way to increase our discernment. What I encourage you to do if you want to know dreams better is to read about the dreams and parables in Scripture. Because dreams are metaphorical. They're parabolic. They're the metaphorical language. And there are many places in Scripture where we hear about the dream and then we see the interpretation. And you can look at it and go, how did you get that? And I actually, it's very helpful to take almost a graph and say, when they said this in this verse, it meant this. And when they said this, it meant this. And go through the parables of Jesus where he used metaphoric language. You know, he took the disciples away. Well, actually, he preached with 2,000 or 5,000 people, and he used these parables, right? And he told these stories, and everybody left going, what in the world was he talking about? Nobody knew. But thousands of them left. And the ones that really wanted to know hung around and said, Jesus, what in the world were you just talking about? And he told them. He explained the parable to them. But only the ones that really wanted to know. So that's the way he is with dreams. If you really want to know, he'll help you understand. And when I talk to Christian groups, there's kind of two extremes that I would call them gutters, and there's truth in both of them. The one side says, well, Holy Spirit gives dreams, right? Yes. And Holy Spirit is your best dream interpretation tool. Yes. So I don't need to understand how to interpret a dream because the Holy Spirit will just tell me. Well, there's truth to that, but it's not the full truth. Because, yes, Holy Spirit is your best dream interpretation tool, always. He will tell you what a dream means, but there is skill involved as well. And so the other extreme says, well, this element in a dream will always mean this, and this element will always mean this. And so I just have to get a chart on interpreting dreams, and I'll be able to plot it out, and I'll know what my dream means. Well, there's some truth to that, but you left out Holy Spirit there. So what we need is both. And if you look at Daniel and Joseph, they acknowledged God was the one who gave the interpretation, but tell me your dream. So if God's going to give the interpretation, but they knew they had a skill that would help people understand more of their dream. And so the best thing for us to do to be good dream interpreters is listen to the Holy Spirit and get the skill of being a better dream interpreter. And what I recommend to do that is anything by John Paul Jackson. James Gall has an amazing book on dreams. Those are real, and Doug Addison. Those three, I think, are the best out there if you want to get material on how to learn. But this Bible is your best dream interpretation tool. So we're almost done, and I want to give you an example. So I told you about one of my dreams. Is there anybody here who's got a dream you'd be comfortable sharing? A couple of them. So we have that microphone still somewhere? Can we? Somebody that's got a fairly short dream that's not real long? Okay, we'll do that one, and then we'll do yours too.
Hello. There we go. I had a dream where there was like a storm going by, and I was on the back side of the storm, so it was like clear, sunny skies, and I was watching a tornado go by, and it was extremely beautiful. Like, I didn't feel scared or anything. And then I don't know what it actually was, but in the dream I described it as two optics, and there were these huge circles, and out of it were like coming light, and that was it.
They're like orbs? Do you know? Okay. So what you first thing you do is you tell the dreamer the dream back. So let me see if I can tell it back to you and make any corrections if I get it wrong. But you're watching a storm that has already happened, and you're on the back side of it, so it's all bright where you are, but you're looking off to where the storm happened, and there's a tornado at the back end of and you're watching the tornado, and it's actually quite beautiful. And then you see these two orb-like things that come by on the back side of the storm as well, and light's just radiating out of them, and you feel really good about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you remember any colors in the dream?
I just remember it being very bright and sunny on my side and very dark on the other side and gray, very
okay.
gray.
Well, so storms aren't always bad. Sometimes the Lord lets storms happen, brings storms. And so the tornado, the fact that you kind of liked this tornado and thought it was beautiful, that tells me it's probably the Lord's thing. The Lord was doing something. So he's bringing a stirring up or a changing or a, you know, a swirling of sorts and changing things. And so he's almost pushing the storm out of the way. So there was a storm that happened, and the Lord's kind of clearing the way out of that with his presence. It's swirling, but the presence, the orbs are, you know, the heavenly hosts, really, those orbs. And so with that, the light of the Lord is permeating, is being released as well. There's brightness in this new season and the presence of the Lord in the new season. So he's just showing you something's over, and he's kind of moving it on, and good things are coming. Yeah. So what's your name?
Brittany.
Brittany. Let's release and pray for Brittany. Lord, I thank you that she's a dreamer. I say more dreams over Brittany in Jesus' name. And Lord, in this new season, we agree with you in heaven and say more light, more hope, more happiness, more peace, and more that she will see more of the beauty of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this guy up here has a dream. Yep.
Okay. I have a bright yellow 55 Chevy.
You own one?
Yes, and that I've restored. So on the 2nd of January, I was driving it downtown Minneapolis.
Literally?
Literally. I was driving down in my dream.
Oh, okay, you're dreaming about driving a car that you actually own.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And I stop at a red light, and there's a McDonald's across the street. So I just stop and park the car right on the side of the street there at the red light, walk across the street, and I go in the McDonald's, and there's no food there. So then I turn around, and my car is gone. Somebody stole my car. So I'm walking, running out to find out where the car is, and I saw it down the street, turn left. And when I finally found it, somebody had stole it, but it came back to the shop with a trailer hitched to it, like an enclosed trailer that you would put, like, small furniture and things like that. And then I woke up at 0255.
0255.
2:55 in the morning. I'm actually becoming an author, and that's the name of my book, 0 to 55. And I woke up to that, so I got to write this down. So I'm up at 2:55 in the morning, and so I wrote it down. It's like I got to have interpreted. I don't know what this dream means. So here you are.
Okay, so you're already writing a book, and it's called 0 to 55
yes.
is the name of the book.
Yes.
You actually own a yellow 55...
Bright yellow, yes.
Bright yellow 55 Chevy, okay. Mm-hmm. But in your dream, you're driving this Chevy downtown Minneapolis.
Yes.
And you just stop at a red light.
Yes.
And you get out of the car, and you go into McDonald's across the street. You just leave your car. Mm-hmm. And there's no food at McDonald's.
They're empty, yep.
Yep, and when you come back... It's your car, it's gone,
yes.
And you go looking for it, and you see it off somewhere. You see somebody's got it, but you don't get it then. Somehow, then it ends up coming back into the shop, right?
Somebody, the person that stole it, drove it up, but then when they came back with it, actually had a trailer hitched to it.
And then did you get it back?
And then I woke up.
Okay, so it came back into the shop, you said, though.
No, it just came back to the shop where they were sold, they were bringing it back to.
Oh, the shop.
Some shop sold, or somebody took, and they're bringing it to the shop, maybe to... I don't know, chop it up or no, but it was, they had actually put a trailer on it. But when it showed up, it sounded like
a trailer. But it wasn't returned to you. You just saw what was going on.
Yeah.
Then I woke up. Okay. All right. Well, that's significant. Okay. Yeah. So it's a pretty big warning dream. So you're gonna come up against something that is gonna seem like a red light, like no, you don't, you can go no farther, and the fact that you're gonna abandon what God's given you to do, thinking it's always gonna be there for you, and the fact that you went to McDonald's. Now, so you get food at McDonald's. So the fact that you go to McDonald's means that you're looking for spiritual food. But it's fast food. It's not real healthy, not real good. It's fast food. It's cheap food, basically, and there's nothing there. So you're going to come up, it's a warning, you're going to come up against something that's a stop, and you're going to abandon what's taking you forward in life, whether it's your car, whether it's this project, but whatever's driving you ahead in life right now, you're going to leave it and try to get some inexpensive spiritual food. It's spiritual feeding, and you're going to, you go back and what you had is going to be stolen if you abandon it. So it's really a warning. Don't abandon just because you come up against a stop, and you know someone's going to hook some baggage on it. I mean, if you don't keep yourself there, and you allow that thing that whatever you come up against as a stop to discourage you, and you go looking for something that you think is going to be better, but there's nothing even there for you, then you're going to lose what you had, and it's going to have baggage attached to it. Yeah.
Is this being taped?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm John.
John, let's pray for John. So, Lord, we thank you for John, and we thank you for 0 to 55, and that you have your hand on that. And we declare wisdom, discernment, and courage over him, that he will not stop, and he will not be discouraged by anything that stops him. And he will not give up what you have put in his life, that he will have the discernment to stay with it and to continue driving forward in what you have for him, not what would to distract him or discourage him. And we bless that 0 to 55 book, and we call it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yay, God. All right. Well, we have 1 minute to go. Can we do another dream, or should we?
Sure.
Okay, one more. Okay. Back here. And the others, we'll do them next week, too, or Gary's a dream interpreter as well, so if you want, we can hang around and interpret some dreams if you've got time afterwards, but we want to honor the time frame we gave you.
This is actually a dream my son came and told us yesterday, that he was driving my van.
Oh, it's his dream?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not your dream.
No, but it has to do with the fact that he was driving my van, and he was going, was it 55... You did too? No? Oh, I thought he did. Well, maybe I can wait. But it was like he was driving the
car. How about if you find out and bring it next week?
That'd be perfect.
That would be good. Okay. That would be good. All right. Well, let me bless you guys. And then Gary's back there. Wave, Gary. He's a dream interpreter as well. So we can, if you've got one that's really burning you, otherwise bring them back and we'll try to do more next week. So Lord, I thank you for these dreamers. I thank you that you are so good and that you have created us to receive dreams. And Lord, would you forgive us for any way we've shut that down or shut you out in this area of our life? Would you give us wisdom, discernment, and courage to trust you to step out even more in this gift you put in each one of us? And we declare protection and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, bless you guys, and I hope I see you next week. So good. Yeah. Thanks.